Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang. Bang, bang. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, bang, bang. You back in the video game gang. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy Skip, a.k.a. I don't know. Skip to my loo. Skip a week or two. Skip my way right into your heart. This is your boy Skip, aka Skip Matosh, back for another episode of the video game bang bang bang. Welcome back, everybody. Glad that you're joining us again for another week. I'm never alone when I do this, although I'm often alone when I don't do this. I'm watching my co-host.
Sorry.
I might as well say his name.
He's, I'm gonna up let here you finish, Skip.
To me.
I'm gonna let you finish. But I missed a two time, all right? So you finished what you were gonna say, and I'm just gonna show chat the beautiful ring right here.
Mr. Two Time.
Mr. Two
Call Time. Call him Tony Two Times. World champion.
Yes.
The most electrifying man in
Esports
and social media.
Yep. Yeah.
Corey, I mean, you're holding up the hardware. I seen you flashing a nice pinky ring looking like Ric Flair trying to break the internet, trying to break Twitter. Tell me what makes you Mr. Two-Time World Champ. Tell me about this.
Well, you know, I've been telling you guys for a long time, the SF Shock best Overwatch League team of all time was in season 3 of the Overwatch League. If you guys have noticed, you know, the shows have been far and few between just because there's been so much extra work going into it. And, you know, we need to take breaks. And it was all worth it, baby, when the San Francisco Shock won the Overwatch League 2 years in a row. That's two times, two giant trophies. That was $1.5 million in the bag. So I get another ring, baby. This was the ring for 2019. And now I'm going to have two. I'm so excited, guys. Like, it was tough because we won the first year and, there were some changes. We had a tough season, man. Like, imagine being the most dominant team, you know, just, you were in the grand finals, we swept. Like, there was no one giving us any problems. We head into 2020 pandemic, all that crazy stuff happens. And then we had the league MVP last year named Sinatra. And out of nowhere, he just quit Overwatch altogether to play Valorant. That's a championship team losing their MVP in the middle of the season. If that's not adversity, I can't tell you what is. So I'm proud of my boys, proud of my organization, top to bottom, from the partnerships people all the way up to the head coach. Man, we just had a lot to celebrate. So that's why I'm now Mr. Two-Time Royalty.
Mr. Two-Time. You know, a very interesting thing. As someone who's a fan of an organization who struggles with certain things, my beloved Kings, it's very nice to see that on the flip side, you look at another few organizations, just from the top down, the people that are at the head all the way, you know, to the people that are on the front lines. You know, from everything that I've seen on social media, what I've been following, anytime I see the things, because I follow on the YouTube channels as well, for energy, and of course I see some of the Shock stuff whenever you post it on Twitter. You really, really see like that it's a group effort. It's not just the players. It's not just, you know, the guys signing the checks. It's not just the people that set up the equipment. It really, really is a group effort. So it's really cool. I'm proud of you, obviously, for putting in the work. And then just proud to see how everybody came together for the Shock. And then also all the loyal fans, all the people that support the Shock online as well. It's just it's an awesome community. So it makes complete sense why you know, y'all got another one, man. So thank big you. Ups to the Shock.
Thank you, Skip. We hit that critical mass where we got like so many fans. We're getting that Patriot thing to where now everyone just kind of by default complains about our fans being like emotional and passionate. And so we've been trying to like deal with that, because when you're so good, you become the villain. And so our whole goal in the next season in social media content strategy is how not to be the villain anymore. How do you be like the super elite team, but like not get everybody to hate you? And it's really tough. So stay tuned. That's my current project right now.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Speaking of people working on secret projects that we can't talk about, another person joining this episode. Lexi, what's going on? How's it going? How's it hanging?
Yeah, just been working hard, grinding away, you know, trying to have my place in this earth.
Well, I think you've earned that like threefold.
Right there.
No, that was hopeful. That was hopeful. I mean, everybody should aspire to earn a place in life.
Something akin to what Lexi has.
That took a huge turn. I think Lexi's edible just kicked in.
Wow. I didn't even see that one coming, Corey. What in the world? Ignore Corey, guys. Anyway. Oh my gosh.
Back on Lex. Yeah. So
I've been chilling. Everything's been going well. Working hard. Yeah. Everything's been going great. Haven't been playing as much as I want to, but you know, it is what it is. I'll get on the grind again soon. But yeah, like Corey said and Skip said, I'm just grinding away,
Lexi,
on some projects.
Can you tell me about your JR barbecue sauce? Because I'm super jealous of you. You're like working close with the wrestling game, and Jim Ross sent you barbecue sauce.
I got like this random package one Saturday morning. I was like, what? And what is this at my door? So when I opened it, it was from Jim Ross, and it was his barbecue sauces and his beef jerky. And I was just like, okay.
That's Karen Bowles right there.
Yeah. But this is the thing. I had never heard of like his brand. I had heard of him, but I didn't know he had like his barbecue brand, right? So I was like, what? And then I had like a signed card from him. And, you know, I don't know if it was from him or, you know, how people like sign it. But, you know, it was it was like, oh my gosh, I got this card, you know. But they were really good. And I will say, if you guys have a chance to try the barbecue and have a chance to go and get like the beef jerky, 100% go buy some. It's really good. I shall share some of the barbecue sauces the next time I see you, hopefully in the next like couple of months if COVID doesn't continue.
COVID's over. I actually heard COVID makes you 20 years younger, actually.
Wow.
If you get it.
Wow.
COVID's 20 years younger, really?
That's what I heard.
Fake news. Let me be Dr. Fauci right now. Keep the social distancing going. Cases are going up right now. Everybody chill. Corey's high off of being Mr. Two Time right now. Lexi, it's great to have you back, and I'm glad that you've been doing incredible work at your new gig.
Appreciate that. Pleasure to watch. And congrats to Corey again. Woo woo!
Mr. Two Time.
Two Time.
Mr. Worldwide.
Clap two times.
Mr. 305.
Oh, you stop it. All right. Speaking of people on the grind, usually on the grind with video games, but might have might be grinding in a different way now. We might have a little bit of an announcement at the end of the show. Who knows? You never know with VGB, but everybody knows Emma Skies. What's up, young Skies?
Hello. That was it. I realized as soon as I open my mouth to say hi, and then was like, head empty, no thoughts, have nothing to say.
It's all that damn reading you've been doing. It's been slowing your brain down. It's rotting your brain, Emma.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, a book hangover is a very real thing. Thank you. I put that up as a poll on Instagram, and listeners, let us know on Twitter if you know what this is, because this is a real thing. But have you ever experienced a book hangover?
So, how do you have a book hangover?
So the other day, I was going to read like a chapter of this new book that I got before bed. And then the next thing I knew, it was 3 o'clock in the morning and I just finished it. And I read the whole thing in one sitting. And I woke up the next day and I had not slept very well My head hurt worse than any alcohol hangover I've ever had in my life. My body hurt because I was like curled up in an awkward position for 8 hours. Like, it was a real hangover. It was worse than any alcohol hangover I've ever had.
Damn. Well, couldn't and be me.
Tell me this is not a thing anybody in here has ever experienced. No?
Yes. I have experienced a book high multiple times, especially if I'm reading something by Mr. Ed Brubaker. Yes, 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 yes. But a hangover? Nah, I don't know. Are you reading the cheap stuff? Is that what's going on?
You might need to... How dare you?
I don't know. Let me know.
I agree with you. I've experienced that. And it's See? Not fun.
No. It's something where, like, you're sitting in one position for 8 hours. You're staring so hard at this little text. You're not sleeping. You're not drinking water. You're not eating. You're just reading for so long. And then I get up 3 hours later.
Yeah, and then you feel faint when you stand up. So, I understand.
Skip this is right. Sense. You're just reading the cheap 50-50. Stuff.
How dare you? That's a 50-50. And my Instagram poll literally came out to 50% yes, 50% no, which was not helpful.
You know what it was? It was really 75-25, but half of the people who said yes only did because they didn't want to seem dumb. Because they know that they know in Instagram you could see who votes on those polls. So you think twice.
I can.
So they were just trying to.
I saw you voted no. I saw your name in there.
Yeah, because I don't read. Oh, wow. I don't read.
Emma's so annoying, Corey.
I'm clean. I've been clean and sober from books since high school.
Wow, that's terrible. As of today, I've read 6 books in the last month. I like threw myself back into reading.
You've got a problem.
No,
this is actually an intervention, Emma. I'm glad you showed up.
How dare you? I finished the book that I read today too fast, and the other ones that are coming in didn't have time to get here, so I had to go to Barnes & Noble today to tide me over until my next shipment of books gets in.
Wow. That's all I got to say about that.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So we're going to be looking into a 12-step program. Got it. All right. Well, it's great to have everybody back for this episode. Tons of stuff to talk about. I am pretty much just going to throw us right into it because,
let's do it.
My gosh, Spider-Verse rumors? What in the world is
I'm so
going
ready
on?
For this.
Emma was super hyped. I heard Minty talking about it. I'll be honest, I didn't see anything except for some memes going around about some shoes that someone was wearing in the game. So can Emma? Gosh,
oh, that's
can
a totally
you fill me
different. That's
this?
A totally different thing. So yeah, apparently, according to reports, I think is what everything says. According to reports, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire have both signed on for the next Spider-Man movie. And apparently Doctor Strange is going to play a big part into bringing them into the current one. So everybody's flipping their shit about a live action Spider-Verse. But all I can think this whole time is I hope they have the smallest cameo and no lines. And that's what it's going to come out to while everybody's
what?
Freaking out about all this. And it's going to be like, oh, we just wanted to throw them in there for a cameo. We didn't think everybody would like freak out about it.
Do you want that just because it would make other people miserable or do
it
you
would
think-
be hilarious?
Okay. But you would like to see it, right?
But yeah, no. If it's like a legit Spider-Verse thing, that'd be really cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in it, I imagine it's going to be a small role anyway. They don't really want to take away from their star child.
Of course.
But yeah, so that means we have Doctor Strange signed on for the new one.
But there's rumors about Venom also signing on. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors this past week about maybe him being in this movie too. So it could be a huge all-star cast, yeah.
Well, and we already know Jamie Foxx is coming back for as Electro, which that was the first one that got announced where they were like, he's coming back for this movie. And my first thought was, really? That's what we're pulling away from that movie?
Yeah. I thought he killed it. I thought he did
that's
good.
What we thought was worth bringing back from the Andrew Garfield movies. Really? Okay. All right.
So just out of preference here, Skip, what's your favorite iteration of the Spider-Man?
It's a bit of a multi-layer question really, because some people look at that as, you know, which actor better portrayed them or which of the movies were better. It's tough. I would probably take a little bit of each one if I could. But if I can only choose one, I'm probably going to go with the Sam Raimi. So that would be Tobey Maguire.
All right. We got a Tobaholic in the room. What about you, Emma?
I really didn't want to like Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I really didn't. Like, when his movie was coming out, I was like, really, you're going to reboot this fucker again?
Yeah.
And then it was really fucking good.
Yeah.
Tom Holland might be up there. I really liked Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. His Peter Parker didn't make sense because he's too hot. But his Spider-Man, he really had that like super snarky kind of vibe going really well. And then, I don't know, Tobey Maguire did kind of all of it really well. They've all been very good in their own ways. I love all my boys, but Tom Holland's been killing it.
Yeah. I think if we could just forget the whole Andrew Garfield saga, we'd be better off for it. I think it's 100% a Tobe and what's his name? Holland's? Tom Holland. Wow. Yeah.
I love Tom Holland's Spider-Man. I just feel like it's more realistic to the comics. Like, I like how Emma said, I like all of them, but like, I just feel more connected with Tom Holland. It just feels more connected to the comic books. Like, he's this young kid, and he actually is a young kid, you know, like he's playing this role just like I would imagine out of the comic book. So
I remember seeing Tom Holland's for the first time and being like halfway through the movie and was like, I need to IMDb this kid to see if I'm allowed to think he's cute. And then it was like, he's cute too. And I was like, all right, this kid is cute. Great. And I was like, I don't know about this.
He's so like boy next door. Like,
yeah.
If you're you want him to be your son. You want him to be your friend. You want him to be, he's just such everybody's everything. I think he's going to fall hard. Like, he's going to have Justin Bieber levels.
Don't put that in the universe.
He's gonna end up don't like manifest that.
Corey Haim. The Corys. Like, he's going to end up like them. He's so adored. He's too perfect. Something's going to happen.
They pulled him off Broadway. They pulled him off the West End.
They did.
And we're like, you're going to be our Spider-Man. And it's going to be... Actually, I haven't seen his new movie yet. I really want to see The Devil All the Time, which I have not watched yet, but I hear it's really good.
So Spider-Verse, this would be badass. I hope we see it. I think they could even pull in like the digital version. Like, that would be what I think Emma was talking. Like, I don't want there to be like, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and we pull in like animated characters to the real world. But I think if they're like, oh my God,
that is acceptable for Spider-Ham only.
true.
I think if they're like flashing through different things and you just get like a peek, they should go through that Spider-Verse. And I did see the story you were talking about, Curtis, because, you know, we're probably the only ones in this group who would be staring at sneakers and trying to figure out what people are wearing. But people were outraged to see that the Spider-Man from the game is rocking the Adidas instead of the Nikes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Skip? Are you upset? Were you mean tweeting?
Nah, I wasn't mean tweeting. It's tough for me. I'm an Adidas fan personally. So although it's not authentic to, you know, what people see, I mean, I get it. You know, it comes down to dollars and cents.
Yeah, it's just
good old corporate. You know, we got deals on this side with these people. We got deals over here with. We don't have deals with these people.
He'd be in Crocs.
So that's just what it is.
If the money was right, so people need to.
Oh,
chill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, not everybody is going to think about those types of things on the back end. They're just going to be like, "Why is he wearing Adidas? What's up with the three stripes?" You know. So, I get it, but it means very little to old Skipper over here. So
I was happy to see it only because I prefer to wear Adidas. You know, I have nothing against either brand, but I like the comfort and look of an Adidas shoe. And now I'm just thinking of that collab. So I just know that's going to be coming up. So
you know
I was happy about it.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. And to kind of round things out. OK, so this is a whole nother topic. If I was a neophyte to that information, this I know nothing about. I'm just going to say it, and then y'all fill me in. Spider-Cat.
I'm ready for this. I don't know where Spider-Cat came from. I don't know if there's a precedent for Spider-Cat. I have no idea how this came into the universe. But Miles Morales has a cat in his backpack, and he helps you with finishers when you're fighting.
That's where I draw the line. I could suspend my disbelief
that's
to
where
a point,
you draw the line.
But this better not just be like random cat thing. There better be a full side plot
where story
where you unlock this cat because he was exposed to a special mutant thing.
So Captain Marvel.
Wait, but what if we do stealth missions like Mary Jane, but you're the cat? Do you know how much better the Mary Jane missions would have been if you were a cat?
A million times better.
Oh my god.
It would have made it playable.
It would have. Those Mary Jane missions were crap.
They were complete shit.
I'm skeptical about all this. Minty kind of brought it up. Lexi talked about it a little bit. The last cat that had anything to do with Marvel on a large scale was what was responsible for Nick Fury.
Yeah.
I lost an eye. Yeah. Scratched Nick Fury's eye, so I don't know how I feel about this cat thing. You know what I mean? I had a lot of expectations coming off of Captain America, Winter Soldier, when he made it seem like a real why he has trust issues had something to do with him losing his eye. And then it was because, you know, little kitty scratch. So I got my eye on y'all. That's all I'm going to say, because I don't know about this cat business.
Wait, it wasn't just a cat. Wasn't it like a Garthog?
You're thinking of the Coneheads.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't know what the that Garthog. Is.
Garthog. No.
This was...
Oh my gosh. Corey, boomer. I have to say it, Corey. That was surely a boomer moment. What?
Hey, just don't start chewing condoms like they're bubblegum. We don't have any problems over here, all right? It was a flurkin.
Flurkin.
It's a flurkin, my friend.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you, Sir Butcher, in the chat. And again, for everybody listening, we got our normal loyal podcast listeners, but we do this show live on Twitch. twitch.tv/videogame_bang. So make sure that you're tuning in live. You could be part of the chat like Sir Busher, you know, keeping our facts straight, letting us know it is a flurkin and we're not narfling Garthunks over here. So, okay, well, Spider Cat, I mean, I don't know. I've got some room to be convinced, maybe down the line, who knows. But we're going to roll into some bigger business that continues to be, I'll be honest, the only reason why I'm still even hanging on to my PS4 Pro. I'll give a 2K update later, but Cyberpunk 2077 had their Night City Wire episode 4, and they showed us fashion, vehicles, all sorts of stuff. Now, Lexi, you were the first person once we jumped in here and started pre-show prepping that brought it up, and I was excited about it. What were some of the things that caught your eye from that Night City Wire episode for Cyberpunk?
I mean, when I watched, I thought it was just like Fast and Furious, but in Cyberpunk.
Oh, wow.
And I love Fast and Furious. So it made me have my Vin Diesel days back watching that.
God.
I ain't gonna lie.
He did not age well. Did you hear that song he came out with?
Wait, no.
Oh, what? My God. After the show, please go on YouTube and just Google Vin Diesel song. And he made a pop song and released it within the last 2 weeks. And it they went on the Wendy Williams show and were playing it for the audience. It was bad. This thing is, just look that up. And then I think it's going to kill whatever you had going on for Vin Diesel.
Oh, okay. My God. But no, I really liked it. It looks really cool. I like how they're dispersing everything out in pieces, essentially, of the game. Like, here's your gangs this week, and here's your and here's your different cities or whatever throughout. I really like how they broke it down in the marketing perspective. That's very smart of them not to they gave us the trailer at first, you know, but not to give us all the hints and secrets until the game actually comes out. But now, since it's getting so close to time, they can push out even more stuff, you know? But no, the vehicles look sick. You can have a motorcycle to, I don't know, old school classic cars, but more amped up in the cyberpunk world, of course. Mm. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm sure they're going to have some Blade Runner type vibes and Back to the Future type vehicles. From the trailer, it looked like some of them were in the shape of those. So I'm curious to see if they would put homages to those for sure.
Absolutely. Me just overall being a huge fan of the cyberpunk genre, you know, loving movies like, of course, everybody, The Matrix, and even Johnny Mnemonic, we were all excited when we had seen that they had brought Keanu into the game and he was going to be a part of it. But then he also shows up in this when they go to the part about how they actually captured the audio of the different vehicles and how they like rented all these expensive cars. I mean, like the top of the line, like Aston Martins and Lexus and all of these things. And he is right there as he is very adept, like with motorcycles and cars and whatnot. And it was just cool to see him so excited to just be there for them recording, like them turning on the car and then like accelerating and all that stuff. It's really cool that they got him to be an ambassador just beyond being in the game and then coming out at that point. He continues to like show how much he is really, really into this game. And with him having been the lead in Johnny Mnemonic and obviously being Neo in The Matrix, I think it's really cool how like this started for him like back in the 90s as something that initially wasn't successful with the movie like Johnny Mnemonic. And then now it's tying all the way back around in 2020, 2021 with him like, hey, Cyberpunk is still like pushing my career forward and putting money in my pocket. Like it's really, really cool. Corey, did you get an opportunity to see anything from there? Did anything stand out for you? I know you're big into fashion.
Oh,
so
I love fashion. I was very, very impressed with the fact. No, I didn't watch it. They already have my money. I don't know why they keep trying to sell me on this game that's not coming out ever. Whenever it's ready, whenever this game comes out, I will be there with check in hand to buy this thing. I don't need any more proof or following up. Keanu has already won my heart.
Question is, how soon do you guys think we'll have a limited edition like Xbox Series X of Cyberpunk? Because that's what I've been waiting on.
Wasn't there some stuff? I don't think this made it to the notes, but didn't a video come out and it's really complicated to turn the PlayStation 5 on its side? Did anybody see that or
no?
I did. I saw it.
So how hard is it? Because were people over exaggerating?
Yeah. I mean, it's 2020. People don't want to put any effort into anything. Like, I don't think it's not much more difficult than it was for us to, you know, put our PlayStation 2s on it on the side or whatever. But there is a little foot on the bottom and you got to like grab a nickel and loosen it up.
I got to go look for a fucking nickel.
Oh, Lord forbid you gotta grab a nickel off your desk. And
so is it little stand that it's on? Do you have to move that if it's going to be on its side or on or flat?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
because it basically can interrupt how like the fans and everything.
That makes sense.
Like distribute,
so you
the
can't
air,
do it so. While, or you're not supposed to do it while it's on, I would assume.
I would assume that you're not supposed to do it while it's
on. I already know a million people are going to do it.
I still have no idea. I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not. A friend of mine 3D printed the PS5 and the Xbox based on the dimensions that they put out. Mm-hmm. And they're fucking huge, both of them.
Wow.
They're massive. The Xbox especially is so much bigger than I thought it was. Like, I saw it and I was like, I don't know why I didn't think it was this large, but holy fuck, I don't know where I'm going to put either of those. I have no space. No space in here.
I love the social media opportunistic Xbox team who, when everyone started like flipping out over having to find the nickel and move the thing, they released a video that was like how to put an Xbox on its side. Flip, you know? And I feel like they felt like they got some sort of revenge from that one E3 where PlayStation clapped the hell out of them for not being able to play games. It was quite the moment. I'm sure Xbox is very proud of himself.
Absolutely. Well, might as well stick with the theme of Xbox, rolling over into the next story. Xbox head Phil Spencer believes Microsoft can recoup at $7.5 billion, and yes, I said billion dollar Bethesda investment. But he believes that he could do it without bringing their games to the PS5. But didn't confirm their plans on the matter. Emma, what do you think? Do you think it's realistic for them to actually recoup such a big investment without bringing the titles over to the PlayStation at all?
I mean, it depends on... it depends on what they're going to use it for. Like, it, like, are they going to do it with a new Fallout? Are they going to do it with a new Elder Scrolls? Like, it depends on, I guess, what, and what they mean by recouping that. Like, do they mean just in pure sales from Bethesda, or do they mean people that are going to buy an Xbox because of the Bethesda purchase, which isn't something that you can necessarily, like, you can't track that as easily as you can, like, you know, this is the money we made specifically from Bethesda games. So that's a little more easy to, it's a little easier to fudge the numbers on that one, or to have some sort of, like, very creative math going on to be like, oh, well, you know, we made X amount of dollars in hardware sales because of this, so we're going to count that toward it. So it, yes and no, I guess, depending on how they want to count that.
Yeah, I think he was just flexing. He was in an interview and they asked him, and he was got on a roll, and then he just said, yeah, you know, we don't need to put it on there, because that, I think people just read into the quote to pull all these stories out of it. I think, you know, of course they wouldn't have bought it unless there was, like, multiple ways to recoup that money. You know, that's so much money that you don't get that without, like, knowing you're going to make it back somehow. And I'm sure there is a scenario, like Emma had said, that was pitched to them where they could. This doesn't necessarily mean at all that that's the strategy. They could probably make more than recoup. I mean, by a lot more, by still sharing with PlayStation. But seeing some of the response to some of these things where things get taken out of context and put in, and everyone just goes straight to Doomsday. No, nothing like that. Nothing confirmed here.
They just announced something about, like, Skyrim being, like, on Xbox exclusive for, like, a short time or something. Or some game. I don't know which one it was, but it came out today or, like, the other day, where it was, like, this exclusive to Xbox only for, like, a certain amount of months or whatever. So I think they'll, like, help them if they do stuff like that, because then you force people to come to Xbox, especially if they're diehard fans of whatever it is.
Yeah.
It was in that same interview where they asked that question, and I guess Phil Spencer said that there's a possibility that Elder Scrolls 6 could be exclusive to the Xbox, yeah. But I don't think he ever said that. I think people kind of heard what Spencer said and then kind of inferred exclusivity from that, because he said, oh, there's, you know, we wouldn't have to take it to PS5. People immediately went with the headlines, oh, Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be an Xbox exclusive. Which I don't think he ever actually said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely flexing. And yeah, it's a bit realistic. I believe it could happen. But let's be honest, like, anytime you make such a large investment, we know how people on boards can be, and investors, they're not trying to hear, oh, yeah. You know, like, we should be able to make it back in 7 years, when, you know, they might be a little more inclined to know that you could probably make it back in 5 if you do X, Y, and Z, or if you release more titles or release it on the other platforms. They're looking to just get their money back. They're not like in the grudge mode as much as I believe, like, some of the, you know, executives and stuff might be, you know, in that competitive mode. So we'll see, but I got a feeling we're going to end up seeing those titles still.
That's kind of a cool point, because, I see a future where you're going to be able to get Xbox Games Pass on your PlayStation and vice versa. I think they're going to start letting down their walls once digital starts being the wave, because it's going to be more about these subscription services and cloud gaming. And PlayStation put out an interview, whoever their head was, a couple weeks ago, and the headline was, like, don't expect to get free, like, first-party games with their subscription pass, because that's not a sustainable model financially. While that's completely contrary to what Microsoft's doing. Microsoft, that's their thing now. Like, you want to play Halo? Don't buy Halo, you idiot. Just get on our Games Pass, and then you'll get Halo for free on day one. Emma, for free.
I hate you.
So
that's not what free means.
But see, I think their philosophies are way different. And I think that's partially because I don't think PlayStation can pull off what Microsoft's doing just with the technology they have at their disposal. Like, they're just not in the same ballpark, I think, Sony, PlayStation, and the company Microsoft. So I don't know. We'll see.
Time will tell on that one. Time will tell. Man, you know what? What is remarkable throughout the last, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, how Microsoft continues to stay like in the headlines, whether it's things like the deal that they were doing with GameStop, obviously the Bethesda thing, but you know, possibly withholding things from PlayStation. But then you got them being very willing to collaborate on a longtime rumored character over in Nintendo Super Smash Bros. And finally it got announced, and not only got announced, but it has officially been released. Steve from Minecraft is no longer coming to Super Smash Bros. Is officially in Super Smash Bros.
Yes.
Corey, how broken is this character, and have you used the cheese yet?
No. Did the character come out yet?
Steve is out.
I didn't
Steve
even know it was out. What?
I've been watching people lab Steve. I've been watching people mine on the stage. It's pretty intense what they had to do to even bring him in. Sakurai, who is obviously the lead developer director of Super Smash Brothers, of course, did, you know, their little Nintendo Direct and brought them all in. But once he started labbing the game and showing, Steve is up here mining, but you can go off of, he said they had to rework all of the stages to make Steve work because of his mechanics. Of course, he can mine, he can build. And what do people do the first day that Steve comes out? Of course, they throw people off the edge and then build blocks over at the end of the stage so you can't recover and get back up.
What?
It is just hilarious.
That's
it's brutal. Like, people are already like counting how many digs you have to mine to get silver or to get gold. And then you get different swords depending, obviously, on the materials that you mine. He's breaking shields with like these crazy, super like secret moves. How is Microsoft is just like trying to own games for the last half of 2020. It's pretty remarkable to see. Corey, you need to get Steve, man. You're going to be putting, I mean, as much as you were into Minecraft and having your own servers that you had set up and that you used to run and everything, like, I know you like the Donkey Kong cheese. Got a whole new level.
No, see, I don't know where that rumor got started, because I don't know who you talk to on your streams, but there's a few people, especially Lost Sheep, who always talks about I spam moves in Donkey Kong or something. Like, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. I only employ legit tactical esports strategies when I dominate. Okay. I don't use cheese, okay? And I love Smash and Sakurai. Like, the universe they've created, like you said, he actually went in and changed the mechanics of the game to make Steve work. And it's like that for every character. They don't just port a character and make it a skin. Like, they go through and they make all the moves and the inputs even, like, true to that game's source material. Like, when you choose Street Fighter, you can do, like, fight stick inputs, and you get rewarded for it. They're even more powerful. It's really just amazing that they did that. The cinematics, like, it was just surreal to see Mario in a Minecraft world for some reason, like, in an officially, like, it wasn't like some jailbroken, you know, random video. This was like a Microsoft production where Mario is interacting with Steve, and a creeper comes in and it blows up. It's like, man, if I was a kid, this is what I would have been alive for. And I even know Jake, our social media guy's son, loves Minecraft and loves Smash. And I put myself in his little shoes. I don't know, little tiny croc shoes or whatever that he wears. And I would have died. My heart would have exploded out of my heart, and I'd be a dead boy.
That is honestly the thing I thought. I'm a person. I have played Minecraft, but I didn't own it. It wasn't like I didn't rent it or anything. I was playing on my buddy's PC, and he was like, he is like a super smart, like, in my mind, he's a genius. He was like building RAM inside of the game. I'm like, dog, you got a city, but you building RAM? I don't get it. I play Animal Crossing. That's different. But it was like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, for all the kids that I know that are really into it, they got to be loving this. This has got to be like insane to them. My game of choice like that was Terraria. That was the one I was on. I still got Terraria on Steam. That's what I get down on. But there's an untold number of kids, as this game Minecraft just continues to have staying power and stick around, that I know that they were going crazy when it came out. So
This is, you I know, think, again, one of the biggest like crossovers that's relevant that I think they've had on that game when you think about it, because Steve is like a Sonic level character at this point. This isn't just This isn't Crash Bandicoot. You know, this isn't Spyro the Dragon. This is top tier elite Steve. If there's a Mount Rushmore of the video game characters, it's Mario, Sonic. How many people are in Mount Rushmore? 4, 5
You can put, I mean, if you want to put Luigi, I mean.
No, not Luigi. Master Chief. And then.
Okay.
And then we put. Hold on, wait, Steve.
But that's two for Microsoft, though.
That's just.
I'd be like that sometimes.
Be like that. Microsoft just built all different. Right.
It's different. I feel you. Well, again, as it's one of my favorite games of all time, and for anybody that hasn't played Super Smash Brothers, and I can't imagine that's that many people now because of how many Switches they're selling, and at this point, Super Smash Brothers has outsold the most popular fighting game sold of all time, which is Street Fighter II. It's a lot of people have played it, and it is an incredibly well engineered game. How much they bring other games mechanics into it and make it work in the world of it is incredible. So again, just props to Nintendo. And of course the Nintendo news don't stop because Super Nintendo World is officially set to for launch in next spring. Emma, I know that you are incredibly.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Following this very closely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know you got your notes up and I know you're just waiting to talk about it. Would you like to tell us a little bit more?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's good because Universal Studios Japan will open the new part of their park in spring 2021. And I think that's contingent on how COVID goes. Our park operator said Super Nintendo World, the first attraction based on the firm's games, was initially slated to open in tandem with the Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games this summer, but was postponed to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, of course. The attractions cost over 60 billion yen, which comes out to 568 million U.S. dollars, to construct. This is, I mean, for someone like me who enjoys theme parks and I love Nintendo, and I haven't been out there yet, and one of my best friends who lives out in Tokyo is like, you gotta come. The second that the coast is clear, I'm grabbing my kids, and we're bypassing Disney. We're going to Super Nintendo World, baby.
Corey, can I go to Tokyo Disney?
I mean, that's going to be second.
Have you seen the Beauty and the Beast animatronics there? Scary good.
But this is...
Does Nintendo World have animatronics? Is there an animatronic Mario?
This is Nintendo Land. What are you talking about, Emma? You cannot compare the House of Mouse with the house Miyamoto made. All right? It was Miyamoto, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Shigeru.
Wait, Miyamoto. So Skip, yes, did you know it. They have also the real life, you can ride the Mario Karts there? So I wonder if the world will have those too, where you can do the karts.
Oh, they're like because big tours around the city?
Yeah. They already That's have amazing. Those. Amazing. So.
Emma, if there was a Mount Rushmore of video game characters, who would you put
no,
on?
No, no. Please. No, I'm not doing this. Please. So, Corey had this whole thing, and he specifically mentioned Crash and Spyro to piss me off, and I didn't rise to the bait, and literally in the Discord, he said, are you muted? No, motherfucker, I'm just not rising to your bait.
Emma, please. Who would you put on the Mount Rushmore video game? Just curious.
Blow up Mount Rushmore. We don't need it.
All right, fine.
I'm not rising to your bait, motherfucker.
You'd be Spyro.
Literally, are you muted?
I played my hand a little too soon on that one.
Gotta learn, my friend. Need a better poker face and better bait at that. Well, not that he's bait, because that would be weird, but he just continues to rise in popularity. Tyler Ninja Blevins has signed with the Creative Artists Agency, one of the biggest agencies in Hollywood. This move presumably is a precursor to Ninja's Hollywood aspirations. In a July interview, he stated that he wanted to make his way to the movie and voice acting business. Really, Ninja?
That's a good idea. Yeah. Are you surprised? I mean, you got to diversify. Yeah. Like, you can't stick all of your investments in one little pot. Like, you got to keep growing. So because he kind of maxed out his gaming influencer side of it, and now he's got to keep going. Like, are we surprised by this?
Yeah, because I mean, he's getting older too. You have to think about it. Like, he probably wants kids one day or something. Who knows? You know, but he has a young audience anyway on like Twitch and stuff. Like, it's like Emma said, you have to continue to rise to figure out like what's the next best thing for you. So I could see it.
I get the voice acting. That makes sense. He's already done a bit of that in, you know, small little cameos and things like that. And he's already diversified himself. I mean, what I've heard, real estate, different like companies, like and not that you want to limit yourself, but I don't know. When I look at Ninja, I do see a bit of a face, but I don't know that I see, like, even some of the cameos and the things that he's done, like, it was really rough. And I mean, I guess everybody is at first. Like, if he goes and he does like some acting classes, maybe it can get better. But I just don't see that coming out of him. It's one thing to do voice work, and you can do so many takes, and it's much easier to edit and construct things in a way where they kind of pull out some of your best performances. But when it comes to your face and you got to like bring that stuff across, he's just so dang wooden when he's scripted.
Being like a host for some show, like whether it's a reality show or something, like, I can see that being the kind of thing that he's doing.
I can see that brings a little more realization to me.
It's gonna take a lot of work to get him up to actually. That's why I was surprised to see Emma was so welcoming of this, because I was gonna. It's all fun and games until he ends up in the next show you're excited about.
Like, true.
It's like, all right, he's the new Spider-Man, everybody, and then you know we're screwed. So, but I think we're all safe. He like, you don't go from Dancing with the Stars to like starring your own Netflix series.
Dancing with the Stars.
Well, I could see him doing that kind of stuff. I also could see him as the new like G4 TV host. You know how they were looking for the host. I could see that kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be it. Right.
I don't think they could afford him.
Actually, maybe it wasn't Dancing with the Stars. You know what it was? It was worse. I saw him on The Masked Singer.
That's right.
Oh, I hope they cancel that show.
That's just so great. What are you talking about?
Just watch the original version. Just watch the Korean version.
I'm sure it's okay. I should watch the Korean version.
Probably much better. Probably much better. Well, we got one gamer, world's most popular gamer, trying to go over into the acting side, and then we got a little bit of like a role reversal. Apparently, Team Liquid has signed actor and notable all-around nerd
Asa Butterfield.
Emma, who's Asa Butterfield?
Who is this person? I love him because he's the lead in Sex Education, which is a wonderful Netflix show that everybody should watch. But he was in Ender's Game. He was that kid. He was in Hugo. He was in The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. He's just like the kind of guy you would look at and be like, yeah, okay, I can see that guy being a video game nerd. He's like adorable. He's great. But I know nothing about his esports aspirations. I'm just like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you know what? I'm happy for you. Good for you. I like this.
Does he Twitch stream or anything, you guys think?
I have no idea. I didn't even know he played video games.
This is weird.
It's interesting.
It's unprecedented.
Corey.
Yeah.
So apparently, like, for these kind of things, don't you have to audition or at least like have some type of videos out there? So I'm assuming he like has something on YouTube or Twitch where he's showing off his skills to the point that Team Liquid picked him up. Like, maybe it was his side hustle and he just now it's like out there.
I don't know. It says here that he competed in Smash Bros tournaments for Panda Global in the past. So Panda Global's they're a really big org in the FGC, you know, and I could see them like sending him a jersey and being like, hey, why don't you represent Panda Global? Like, I don't think it was a hard set contract. You know, they weren't touching his prize money or anything if he won anything. So I think it is more of an influencer play because those exist. Like, I was watching, I don't watch it religiously, but they made Fuller House and they had an episode. And I think a kid was wearing an Overwatch League jersey for like the LA team. And it was just way like kind of strange. And then you go find out that, you know, someone who show runs knows someone from the org. And it was like a full just scratch your back, I'll scratch my type of thing. So I think that's all they could be trying to do with this guy is maybe they'll pop up in a movie or something.
It sounds like he's going to be doing like content stuff for them. let's see. He can act as a super fan for the team. We're hoping to get some cool content with him, hoping to just do whatever he wants, having fun with esports and feeling involved. I think he's quite passionate about it. It's from, where did her name go? Oh my God. The team's senior talent manager, Brittany Latanzio. So it sounds like it's going to be like, it's, I mean, they're bringing a celebrity onto their team and kind of for that reason. But good for him. I hope he's happy. I hope he's having a good day.
I'm just going to type up an email and see if I can get Tom Holland on the SF Shock then.
There you go.
Go for it. That's, I mean, now's the time. Is, now's the time.
2020, anything can happen. So, Corey, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't shoot, my friend.
That's what they say.
Let it fly. Let it fly. Let it fly. Well, that pretty much rounds out at least a few weeks worth, if not a week and a half, weeks worth of gaming and nerd culture news. Thank you, everybody, again, for tuning in to the Video Game Bang podcast. Now, this particular episode I had marked earlier on is a little more significant than some of the more recent ones for bittersweet reasons, I'll say. Emma, I don't know how much of a floor you want. I don't know how much of a soapbox you want for this. But is there anything that you would like to share with
so people? I started a new job this week. Hooray, very exciting. It's not exciting. But it does mean that my time constraints are getting hit real hard, and I'm going to be stepping away from the podcast. So this is the last you guys are going to hear of me on here. No more yelling. Well, who is going to scream at Corey now?
Emma, I'll try my best to live your legacy.
I will try my best to continue to scream at Corey and Curtis at those moments that I see fit.
And remember to not rise to his bait.
I got you. Girl power.
I mean, somebody's got to hold it up.
It's hard not to fall for Corey's bait, that's for sure. And we don't have the sound effects to give the awe and sad sound right now. But there we go. I knew Corey would fill in for us.
Well, thanks, Emma. I don't know what else to say. It's been a few years. I think we had a roller coaster. I think, you know, we a beautiful, beautiful friendship, one that is long lasting and deep. Will
I mean, it's not like I'm never gonna see you guys again. I'll see you guys again once COVID's over. Yeah. The audience just will not hear from me.
What about Christmas parties?
I'll be at Christmas parties, I'm sure.
I'm excited for you. You got to do what you got to do, man. And you know, as a creator, you know, you got tons of grinds going on all the time, always. So, I mean, best of luck focusing on your stream, which has seen tremendous growth.
You can catch me at twitch.tv/EmmaSkies if you ever miss out on the soapboxing. But yeah.
You got movie nights over there, all sorts of cool stuff. So thank you just for your time. There's no
thank you
more
guys.
Precious.
It's been a fun time.
Really?
Pleasure, Emma.
Question. Like, really? Has it though?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sad. I think you're a great person, Emma. Thank you for everything you've brought to the show. You were definitely nice to banter with and argue with and push me. I think you pushed me on a lot of topics for a long time
I would
now.
Like my legacy here to be the very first thing I pushed you on. Joss Whedon is a dick.
Yeah, that's where it began. That's where you got credibility. And since then, it's been, you know, nonstop. So thank you for always challenging our views and being very outspoken. Awesome interviewer.
That's what I do.
A lot of help when we were doing the Oblivion comic nights and stuff. Just so much stuff. Chilling at events with you. I'm like you said, we're going to still see each other, but I'm. You will be missed. You'll be missed.
Thank you. Indeed. I'll be around.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know. I didn't mean to bring the show down, but at the same time, happy things though, because if you've known Emma for a long time, you know that you know, like I said, she's been on the grind. So now shifting the grind a little bit, you know, will help pad the pockets, help feed some of those awesome cosplays that always get put together and everything. So once COVID goes away, the cosplay will from Emma Skies will really go to the next level. So, yep, a pleasure, an honor, and make sure you check Emma Skies out on the stream. Absolutely. For the rest of our us rascals still hanging around, Lexi, what do you got going on? Any? I know you've been grinding at work, so and you've barely been playing any games, but can I mean a month out something? Are we gonna get another one of the fantastic Lexi streams? We need it. Please tell us how. Take our money now. What's up?
It's been grinding. It's been kind of hard to do the stream at the moment, but hopefully in the next few weeks or so, maybe a week or two from now, you might see a stream. It's just been kind of hard. But yeah, you can catch me at, or catch me outside, as she said. How about that? At XSpaceMentyX on Twitch. And then on Twitter, you can catch me at LexiJPR. So follow me there. I'll probably post about it. Got to get the nerves up to post about it. I usually just send messages if you want to see my streams, but I guess I'll put out my nerves whenever I do it. And thank you for everybody who has been watching. So I appreciate it.
Indeed, indeed. Shout out to Lost Sheep. Always.
Lost Sheep, yes. I don't see the stream at the moment, but yes, thank you, Lost Sheep, for always supporting as well. He's very sweet.
Very sweet. Always a big supporter. Corey, now, two-time champ.
Mr. Corey, two-time. Excuse,
like, you know, let me get it right.
You built a dynasty over here. We're going for the three-peat.
Okay, going for the three-peat. now that you're the two-time champ, are there going to be any streams going on with you after, maybe after you birth the baby and put the baby to bed? What's going on?
You know, no. I'm just going to say it. I don't like streaming. I don't like it. I like podcasting and talking with you guys and doing this kind of stream, but playing video games to me is like become more sacred as my time has become more valuable. And so the last thing I want to do is be like having to talk about everything I'm doing. It's so liberating just to like go slack jawed and drooly and just get really into a video game. So don't expect any streams from me. Besides these beautiful video game bang ones, but I've been doing tons of work and it's the off season and things are getting exciting. So if you want to check out at SF Shock on Twitter, those are where I do a lot of stuff. We had to let go of two coaches this week and there's just tons of roster apocalypse going. So if you love Overwatch and the pro scene, the free agency is going to be nuts. So you got to keep it locked on the SF Shock channels to stay up to date with all the latest and greatest. But man, Emma, thank you, man. Thank you so much. How many hours you've done this show? It's just pretty, pretty crazy. So I just appreciate every damn second.
Oh, well, thank you.
A lot of time. Big investment. Big investment.
Emma.
Hey. And never forget to turn the light on your house when you invite people to the podcast and let them know that it's a residential area, because I thought I was going to get murdered the first time I came onto this podcast.
Electricity. Fun fact for all of you. Money was tight back then, Emma. You know, yes.
I responded to the DM. I pulled up. I said, is this a residential neighborhood? You said a studio. I was like, yeah, it's a studio in my house. I was like, I'm going to fucking die.
I can attest to this. I thought the same thing.
Well, you really took a leap there. And I think, you know, for better or worse, it definitely changed a lot of your life. Like,
literally, the only reason I did not immediately drive away was because the week before Rachel Fork My Life was on the show, and I was like, she's still alive.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
It's probably fine.
We're super respectable and all that. But
here
like,
we
you
are
specifically,
years later.
Like when we invited you, it was like just as a, you know, just to see what was up. And then, you know, you're still very much connected with all the old, all those guys, Aaron and Steven and that.
Yeah.
So it was like a life changing meeting, you know, that we all got clustered together. So it was really amazing. Crazy how life works. Can't believe you actually went to that creepy house, especially knowing how we know you are now. That must have taken a lot for you.
It did. It really did. I did text somebody the address before I came in. But if I die, it's here.
Life lessons with Emma, the next podcast 2.0.
Then you introduced us to Rachel and Rachel to Galen. Man, this has just been amazing. This was a divine intervention.
It's been a crazy couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, everybody, again, a bittersweet episode, of course, of a video game bang. But how can I not avoid this going out with a bang? Thank you, everybody, again, for joining us. We'll be back next week. Tune in at twitch.tv/videogame_bang. Check out the show live. And for all of our loyal listeners, keep listening. Peace.
Bye.